don't even know the address.
66 Harborview Road.
Hello, hello, and welcome to 66 Harborview Road, a podcast dedicated to ABC's General Hospital. I'm your host, Caitlin, and in today's episode, we are talking about the week of May 16th through the 20th. Starting off with Leo's poem, Rice Plaza was on fire this week as many members of Port Charles gathered for the elementary school's art exhibit. So nervous to go on stage, Leo asked where Chase was, and Chase arrived just in time. Now, even though it has been clear to the audience, BLQ and Chase are still making googly eyes at each other, but can't seem to seal it with a kiss. So Leo asks Chase to sing with him after the poem read, and Chase agrees, and to no one's surprise, they picked one of Brooklyn's songs. So she's falling more and more for him, and he is singing directly into her eyes, but wouldn't you know it, Creepy Link shows up. This guy is like a cockroach. For someone who I thought was just going to be on a few episodes and done, I can see Link really becoming an enemy for Chase and Brooklyn to battle, which, as corny as it is, I'm here for it. I like that the writers are separating Chase from Michael and Willow stuff. It's showing how far Chase has come, and Brooklyn too, for that matter. I mean, we all know she was a handful as a teen, has a messy past, and she's really come into her own. Also, I want to note here that Link asked Brooklyn if Chase was her boyfriend, and she said yes. Chase did not deny it or say anything else about it, but she is freaking out about her songwriting contracts. Also, after the poem read, we had a quick scene with Ned, Drew, and Michael about the Aurora ELQ merger. They offered Ned COO, but he doesn't want it. He says he'll think about it, but he also meets with Valentine. And as I suspected, it's getting interesting. So Valentine offers his services to Ned, and Ned doesn't exactly give him a straight answer. I think he's seriously going to consider working with Valentine, but will he bring Austin in to dilute things even further? Because if Austin gets a couple of shares, I think that would make Valentine's portion that much smaller, giving more control, hopefully, to Ned. Also, we haven't heard anything about if Leo is getting any shares. So while Michael was busy preparing to be a hothead, Sam and Willow were talking about Willow's birth mom. They then run into Sunny and Drew Sam walk off to see Scout's art project, and Willow thanks Sunny for flowers that he sent her for Harmony's death. So this is when Michael steps in and has to denounce Sunny once again. I don't even want to comment on this, that's how much I don't like it. So eventually, Drew does give Sunny a heads up that Mikey, which is what I'm going to call this version of Michael, could be coming for some of Sunny's legitimate businesses. Carly also runs into Sam and asks for an Esme update, and the only thing she can find are the adoption records and adoptive siblings that have seemed to have fallen out of touch. So Sam tries another approach, which I will get more on that later. So Mikey gives a present to Olivia for Leo from the Millo couple, then talks with Drew about the merger. Dante walked by and Mikey hushes up, so now he's not trusting anyone who was not birthed by Carly at this point. I don't get it. Like, I can't with Michael. And as Mikey and Drew are talking, Carly listens in and she wants to invest in whatever they're talking about. And Mikey says, only if it was Sunny's blood money. And Carly looks at him like, I don't need to take Sunny's money. I'm fine. Why are you mad that I didn't try and bankrupt him? Trying to move on here. I'm curious, after the visitation hearing, how Carly is going to feel about Mikey trying to take down Sunny. Like, is she gonna be totally Michael's side of this? Or will she try and be in the middle? When Sam comes back to the party, Leo is with his brother Dante, and then he gives Sam a hug, but not treating her as if she's his sister too. Like, does Leo remember that Sam is his sister, or is the audience supposed to forget that because it makes it too weird with Sam and Dante? It's still weird for me. Even though they are cute, I mean, it's weird for me to see. So jumping from Rice Plaza to GH, Curtis walks into, I guess, a conference room or Porsche's office. We have some cute hugs and kisses, and then Stella comes in. And here's where we have the reveal that not only did Stella know the truth about Marshall, but Curtis's mom did too. I feel bad for Curtis. I mean, he thought he was so wrong for digging into Marshall's past, and now here's Stella crying and pleading for Curtis to forgive her. I think there's still something deeper here because of that comment that Marshall made to her about, well, if anyone is family to Curtis, it's me. So I still think that there's more to this. At least I hope there is. The writers are alluding to that. We also have some scenes of Portia telling Curtis about Trina's PCU expulsion, and I'm curious what will happen with Trina's schooling. She'll probably always have a job with Ava, and maybe those connections could help her open her own gallery or even give enough credentials to work for a museum, even if she didn't graduate from PCU. Curtis then has to tell Portia that Stella knew about Marshall's past all along. And shortly after that, Jordan pops in to tell Curtis that TJ went to go find Marshall. For once, Curtis is level-headed and he's not mad at TJ for going to find him. Instead, he wants to offer help. Then we had a few scenes between Portia and Jordan, which I always find a little bit awkward, but Jordan says she's happy and that's all we can ask for, I guess. But then she asks about Portia's secret, like, Jordan, that's really none of your business. However, I feel bad for Taggart in this situation. If it turns out that Curtis is Trina's father, I mean, we barely see Taggart as it is, but it seems like we're only getting him for big emotions, which he's great in, but I'd like to see more context in between. We had some small Taggart scenes where he gets a little sassy with Jordan about Trina's case, but at the end of the conversation, he does believe Jordan is on the right side of the argument. So now we pan to TJ and Molly on their adventure in NYC, and they're meeting with a Mr. Purdy who was reluctant to help at first, and then TJ got the call from Curtis offering help. TJ says yes, but eventually this Mr. Purdy does help them out, and Marshall shows up at the bar. So even though Marshall's not entirely thrilled to see TJ, he does warm up to the idea of hanging out for a little bit, and that's really all that TJ wants. He said he wants to get to know his grandfather, and I think Marshall can respect that. And this is where things got interesting for them. So TJ and Marshall get mugged, and for some reason TJ freaked out about the guys taking the clarinet, so he thought starting a fight with these guys was a good idea. Which leads to Marshall getting stabbed, I guess. Like, first it looked like they sliced his arm, and then maybe they stabbed him. I don't know. So Curtis shows up just in the nick of time, and they rush Marshall to the hospital. My first thought was, is he going to fake his death again? I mean, why not? He's already super mad at Curtis for digging into his past. Why not just disappear again? Just act like it never happened and go back living your disappeared life. I mean, it was just crazy to me. So my next thought was, I'm surprised TJ wasn't more involved as a doctor. But it is his grandfather, so to some degree I can understand staying out of it. Also, have we ever gotten any information on Sean Butler's family? Because that's who would be blood to TJ. So as they're waiting in the waiting area of the hospital, Curtis tells TJ about how Stella knew the whole secret with Marshall. TJ's not happy about it, but he's like the most understanding person on the show. He really puts himself into other people's shoes. And I also hope that this means that we get more Molly and TJ adventures. I know this one was short, but I think they deserve more stories together. So from NYC to the PC Grill, Brando, Gladys, and Sasha are all meeting for a meal, and that paparazzi guy is staring Sasha down, like such a menacing look on his face. How did the whole restaurant not see that? So Gladys notices and takes the guy outside and discusses the deal that him and Sasha made. And Gladys gets confirmation. Sasha is using. We then pan over to the table where Sasha comforts Brando by saying she's all in for a wedding reception. And then Brando gets a call saying he has to get to the garage. So this is when Gladys confronts Sasha, and it is a mess from start to finish. They end up having to go back to the deception offices to talk about it, and Sasha is begging Gladys not to tell Brando. And honestly, I don't know if I believe Sasha either. But this argument was the funniest thing. When Brando was at the garage, he was fixing that cool blue car with Sonny, and they were having yet another strong family bonding moment. Brando is just mimicking things that Jason used to say. Things like, with your generosity, Sonny, I was able to build a life. But, I mean, come on. It's almost word for word. After Sonny and Brando have a heart-to-heart, Gladys and Sasha show up. They show up to tell Brando that Gladys is moving in. This was either pure blackmail by Gladys, like, I will tell Brando you're using unless I live with you, or Gladys is really looking out for Sasha and she will move out when she believes Sasha isn't in danger of using. I don't know, I'm kind of liking how some characters are being written together. Bring something kind of fresh. Someone definitely mixed up in their own drama is Spencer. He runs into Portia while on his way to Kelly's after picking up another shift. Portia gives him a verbal lashing, and when he's just standing there looking pitiful, Ava comes out of Kelly's. Her and Trina were in there. And then her and Spencer start arguing, and they start arguing about Trina and how she doesn't deserve any of this, and Trina was just in there telling Ava about how she's getting expelled from school. I mean, it's just so heartbreaking. We all know Trina doesn't deserve this. Ava gave her some words of encouragement, but sure enough, there were no words of encouragement to Spencer. I mean, she was letting him have it about Esme, about their relationship. I mean, she let him know exactly how she feels about it. Meanwhile, Esme is doubling down on the love fest with Spencer, but he's not taking the bait. But Nicholas seems like he is. It's quite gag-inducing. Calling Nicholas a family man and doting over how much he loves his family and that Ava doesn't deserve him, it is insane. And I loved that Ava walked in and saw it. She needs to see Nicholas for who he is right now. I still don't know if their prenup or postnup arrangement is still in play. Does it count if Nicholas cheats on Ava with Esme? But when Esme threw Kiki in Ava's face, man, I thought all hell was going to break loose. You don't mess with Ava Jerome unscathed, that's for sure. So Esme cuts to the only defense she can and runs away crying. It is insane what this girl is trying to pull off. And the actress is doing a great job, by the way. I have no quarrels against the actress herself. I don't like the character Esme. I'm not supposed to. She's supposed to be an evil girl trying to ruin Trina's life. And for a while, I was getting a little bit sick of this storyline until Sam talked to Spencer. So when Sam left Rice Plaza, she went to Kelly's and she wanted to get any information she could out of Spencer. And at first, he wasn't going to, but then he decides to let her in on the whole plan, which, thank God, this was getting out of hand. Spencer doesn't have enough experience to pull this off. And I think it's better that the younger generation learn from the experienced ones and then add their own twist on it. Sam didn't give Carly any more of an update, but I'm sure with Spencer's information about Maggie and the drugs, Sam will be able to do something with this. I just hope Spinelli's also on the case. I'm not seeing enough of him since he's been back. The Esme story, although unfolding slowly, I'm still in it. I'm still here, to see what these young actors can do. I have a lot of faith. I think this is going to have some great twists and turns and a big reveal. I'm really hoping for it, at least. So towards the end of the week, we see Carly at GH looking for the test results between Nina and Willow. Bobby interrupts her, and man, Bobby was looking kind of fresh, can't lie. But the two ladies decide to go to the Savoy to forget their troubles. Unfortunately, Sonny and Nina are there, and Bobby is staring at Nina so hard, it's hilarious. Sonny comes over and asks Carly what these test results are that she's talking about, and Bobby goes and takes the time to go to Nina and throw down. It was such a great cat fight. I mean, everyone knows I do not like Nina, but that scene was so good. And then when Bobby threw a drink on her, I mean, pure soap opera glory. But right before the drink throwing, Nina and Sunny were having a time. Sunny scares off some sleazebag hitting on Nina. Nika was enjoying Nina's company. And then Sunny says to Nina that he can back her in court. So from what the show was saying, the hearing should start Monday, May 23rd. I'm sure for drama, Nina will either be awarded visitation or the judge will say Wiley can't be with any of them. Like, none of them are good enough to keep Wiley. The last part about this I'll mention is Mikey and Willow back at the gatehouse talking about the hearing. And I noticed, one, that Mikey was dressed in a black t-shirt like Jason. And the second thing was a love scene. Really? Like, I feel like the writers threw that in there just for the people complaining about Milo. Or is it that we're supposed to believe that they do this all the time, so when Willow ends up pregnant, we're not surprised? I don't know. Side note here, we also had Portia, Epiphany, and Stella party at the Savoy to give Piff a break from studying for the MCATs, and they all discuss the Trina situation. Then Piff brings up Marshall, and both Stella and Portia want Epiphany and Marshall to date. I think Epiphany deserves another love interest on the show. I mean, she had that breakup off screen with Milo, and that was a really big deal when they got together, so I think it's time. Also, is Epiphany becoming a doctor for another reason? I mean, besides that she's been head nurse for so long that she knows more than the doctors half the time, but do we think there is going to be a bigger story down the line? I mean, I'm loving seeing more of her, so it's good with me. Some other small bits this week were Felicia and Anna at the Metro Court Gardens catching up, and there's no more baby talk from Felicia or Mac right now. And then Valentine dropped in, Anna gets a call, leaves the table, and Felicia calls him out on not calling Anna. So when Anna gets back to the table, her and Felicia get up to leave, and Valentine and Anna flirt before they part ways, and we get a tiny cute moment between the two of them. I'm sure their love story will be much bigger. You don't want to throw Anna Devane with just anyone too quickly. You want it to be a cat and mouse game with her. She has such a legacy on the show that you don't want her to just be willy-nilly dating anybody. And the last little bit I'm going to talk about is the Elizabeth situation. Now, I have been saying that I'm here for this since the start. I'm happy she's getting a story, and that scene with her and Cameron was excellent. They are a great mother-son duo. Liz in a trance, fun to see. But it's not exactly going as I expected. So backing up a bit, Finn stops by Laura and Kevin's to see Liz. They're all talking about how she believes in the ghost theory, and she overhears them. She orders Finn to go if he doesn't support her thinking, and then she goes back upstairs because Laura and Kevin support Finn's idea. So Finn meets Violet and Gregory at dinner at the Metro Court, and Violet points out that Liz was present for all the weird occurrences. Like, you're telling me a 7-year-old made you think that Liz could be sleepwalking of some sort? How did we jump to that conclusion so quickly? Also, was it Finn's place to tell Gregory absolutely everything going on? I would be mad if I was Liz, but whatever, that's just me. Anyways, so Liz goes missing from Laura and Finn goes straight to her house, which is where we saw Cameron trying to talk to Liz while she's cutting up this drawing. So Finn is trying to get her attention, Cameron's trying to get her attention, and when she snaps out of it, she is genuinely scared and confused, doesn't remember how she got there. I mean, I feel bad for everyone involved. I feel bad for Cameron. I mean, watching a parent go through something like this. I mean, he already watched Franco go through like a brain swapping, memory mapping thing. Does he need to see his mother go through this too? So yes, I'm a little disappointed that no one is possessed. There's no ghost, at least not yet. All in all, this week was more filler for me. I know that we had that big fight scene with the Ashford men, but it was just a lot of talk this week. So I hope next week with the hearing, we'll get more drama, more tears, more yelling, just overall more of what makes GH special. I'll be watching safely from the Q Mansion down at 66 Harborview Road. You can find me on Instagram at 66 Harborview Road, TikTok at 66 underscore Harborview Road, and Twitter at 66 underscore View. From the Quartermain Foyer, I bid you a great week.